Welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave, something a bit unusual that we're doing today. So we're going to talk about one of the most hyped shows of the year, Westworld. And my name is Glenn, I am Dagos Rivers from the podcast device Fire Forums.
I'm Ryan, Trump Rod on the forums.
HBO are really killing it with shows this year, I think. I mean, I've really been enjoying Silicon Valley. Did you watch Vice Principals?
I have not yet. It's on my to-do list.
I really love that. And then there's The Night Of. I'm working my way through that at the moment, so sort of like on episode 5 just now. So a lot of great reviews out there for that show. And then, of course, other shows like Vinyl, which has been applauded by critics, but I've not watched it yet.
I've not watched too much of the Game of Thrones or HBO stuff other than Game of Thrones of late, but they always have good shows, so they're always on my back burner. So I was watching John Oliver, and the trailer popped up before the episode, and it hooked me almost immediately. I was like, oh, these are some really nice shots of some scenery, and then I realized it was a Western, and then all of a sudden it was sci-fi, and I was like, well, I know what I'm watching.
I remember when I seen the trailer, I think it was around July or June, so when the first trailer was released, and my first reactions were sort of negative, so I watched it and wasn't that impressed. I had seen people talking about it and getting really hyped up about it and excited and going like, oh, Westworld, can't wait for that. And I thought, what's Westworld? So then I looked out for the trailer and eventually saw it, and then I sort of thought, oh, it's sort of like a copycat of Penny Dreadful, so sort of like a look and feel of that show. But then, as I watched the trailer more and read more about it, eventually watched the 1973 movie, then really got excited about the show.
I'm debating whether I should go ahead and watch it before watching the show, or if I should hold off until after the first season, if there's going to be more than one season.
I expect that's... I mean, with all the money they've put into the show, that there must be a second season, but I guess it depends on how well it does anyway with audiences. So far, the critics are on its side from early reviews.
Yeah, I'm sure if it does well, they'll obviously try to get as many seasons out of it as feasible.
And it was something that I learned about the show, that it was based on for those out there that don't know, it was based on a 1973 Michael Crichton movie called Westworld. And the premise of the show, or of that movie anyway, is set in a future where very rich people can pay for an experience of the past, like Westworld, Roman world, or medieval world. So they go in this simulation with a lot of robots and reenact so the 13th century American west of the 1880s or Roman times. And for this TV show, I don't think they'll touch on the other worlds, it'll just be Westworld, but created by Anthony Hopkins. The big thing about the movie is that's told from the perspective of the clients, the tourists that are going to this theme park, and then the TV show is focusing on the robots and their point of view. So one of the main characters is Evan Rachel Wood, who plays one of the robots that learns that she is actually not human.
I think that's a good angle to differentiate it from the original movie while still staying true to the themes.
But there are many reasons why this is hyped and had all the internet buzzing about the show for the past few months. So there is the cast, there's the crew, the producers that have worked on it.
Yeah,
in
it's
terms
big
of
name
budget,
after big
it's
name.
A lot of huge names attached to this adaptation. And then, of course, there's how much money is being spent on it as well. So that's always a good sign. Similar budget to the first season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, HBO seems to know what they're doing with this.
And of course, I guess with Game of Thrones, that's in its sixth season, so it's wrapping up now, that it's got two seasons to go. So do you think that this will be a show that can takeover from Game of Thrones.
I imagine HBO is hoping that'll be the case. I find the premise very interesting, at least. And with the actors that they have, if the actors are willing to stick around for many seasons, I feel like it could replace Game of Thrones.
I think that with so much hype attached to it, then it's destined to fail in a way, or not live up to expectations.
I definitely understand that, because, yeah, looking at all these big-name actors and the crew behind it, like, I'm trying to manage my expectations, because all these people are, like, in some of my favorite works, and them together working on something just sounds like it can't be bad. But then if it's not as good as you expect, it can be very disappointing. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if HBO can revitalize science fiction, well, with the help of Star Wars and Star Trek, I guess, but at least on the smaller screen, like they did with fantasy. It seems like everybody wants to have the next Game of Thrones now. We'll see if everybody wants to have the next Westworld.
I mean, I can imagine that it will do well, especially in the first season, but I think it might be just what I predict from it is maybe a free season run, and then that will be it. But I'm hoping
Do you think they'll do like 3 seasons of Westworld and then maybe switch over to one of the other worlds, retitle the show, slightly rebrand it?
But I think they would need to have that in Westworld, so I haven't been able to find any information on whether those other worlds are mentioned or touched upon in Westworld, but I guess you would need to have maybe mentions of it in order for that to branch out and become, you know, focus on the other worlds or some sort of continuing plot with it in terms of the budget. So what I've read is, well, on one article I read it's $4 million per episode, but then in another article I read that, oh, I think it was IMDb. So the total spend for the first season was $58 million. Which I think is very close to Game of Thrones, which I think was $60 million for the first season.
It's a fairly hefty budget for a TV show.
No, definitely. And let's get on to the cast involved. So, what showstopper names we've got involved in this. So, of course, one of the leads would be Anthony Hopkins, who has, of course, acted in Silence of the Lambs, Remains of the Day, Shadowlands, many movies. So Anthony Hopkins and Evan Rachel Wood were, I think, the first two actors announced as part of the cast.
Both big name actors in my eyes. It'll be nice to see Anthony Hopkins on screen again.
That's right. So one thing that really interested me, something that I didn't know, is that this is the first TV show that he's worked on in 25 years. And 25 years, that's significant, because that was the year that Silence of the Lambs was released and really made him a Hollywood A-lister, especially after winning the Academy Award, and then he's acted in movies ever since. So you have to think that either they paid him a lot of money or there has to be something really good about this show for him to consider TV work again.
Well, it's HBO, so they have a little bit of a pull, I imagine, at least for letting him do, if it is an interesting role for him, I can definitely see that they would be able to have a show that he would be interested in. And just from the trailers looking at it, it seems like it might actually be an interesting acting role for him.
One prediction I have is that, so he's still such a huge name, and like the biggest star that's starring in this show, I don't think he'll make it past the first season.
Yeah, I'd imagine not.
Especially with him being the creator as well.
Right. I was just going to say that it seems almost too easy to write him out. Plus, if it's successful, everybody will want more money in the next season unless they've already signed contracts. So,
I guess with a show with this much money invested into it, I think they would have all signed 2-year or 3-year contracts. At least the smaller actors would have, anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, and the show that he did 25 years ago, it was an adaptation of Great Expectations.
Okay. Okay, I was gonna look it up because I saw you.
I had to look it up.
Show notes, and I'm like,
earlier today.
I'll wait. That's really interesting. 25 years is a long time to. I mean, he's done a ton of movies in those 25 years, but it's interesting when because it's. I imagine it's a very different filming schedule versus filming a movie.
So there's also Ed Harris, who's taking over the Yul Brynner role from the 1973 film as the gunslinger or the man in black. So the gunslinger is in the 1973 film. So Yul Brynner played a robot in Westworld who became faulty and took on a mind of his own and suddenly became the villain of the movie, and is like he's chasing after the main tourist and trying to kill him. Whereas before it was just like this fabricated world where like the tourists would never be hurt because that's the way the robots would be programmed. So like even if they shot at a human, it wouldn't work, the gun, or they wouldn't be able to use the gun against a human. But suddenly something happens and he now can do that and is in pursuit of the two main heroes of the movie.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they have him playing the same, like if the character is the same this time around, because Ed Harris can definitely play a good guy or a bad guy pretty well.
So you were saying that some of the actors have worked in some of your favorite movies. Which movies would those be?
Oh, Anthony Hopkins, obviously. Silence of the Lambs, huge one. I actually really like Crash, too. I did a report on Crash in my freshman year of college, so Thandi Newton was in that, so I immediately recognized her as well. And actually, just going through the trailer, I was just like, yep, recognize them, recognize them, recognize them. I was like, is there anybody in this show that I'm not going to recognize from something else? And there was very few characters, at least in the trailers, which obviously they're highlighting more important people to try to hook you. Yeah, I recognized almost everyone in the original teaser trailer that they played.
Like, I read this article, which was 7 reasons to be excited for Westworld. So it mentioned things like the cast, the budget, the crew involved as well. I can't remember what else, but it would make great for this this podcast if I could find it again. But they did highlight Luke Hemsworth as part of the show as well, so that's like the third Hemsworth brother that's not as famous as Chris or Liam, but still a notable actor that has been involved in a lot of work and a lot of Australian dramas as well.
Poor Luke, the other Hemsworth.
I know. And of course Ben Barnes as well. I mean, that's maybe that's just me that would type him down as, I mean, there's like a list of like 20 actors on the Wikipedia page, but his name stands out because I really loved the Chronicles of Narnia movies, and it's good to see him in a new show or a new movie. This is one of the three shows that I'm really excited about. So there's this show, which is starting in October. There's also The Young Pope, which is starting in late October, I think, also on HBO. And there's also a series of Unfortunate Events, so there's no date on that yet, but that's coming to Netflix next year, I think.
Want to give us a rundown of what The Young Pope's going to be about?
I think I'm just basing that on the trailer that I've seen, but I don't actually, I couldn't actually explain what it's actually about. I just know that Jude Law is in it, and it's another show that's been released to earlier reviews and had like acclaim, 5-star ratings and stuff, and hyped to be like another big show to come from HBO. So the Young Pope also stars Diane Keaton as well. So it's Lenny Bellardo, the youngest and first American Pope in the history of the Church, must establish his new papacy and navigate the power struggles of the closed secretive Vatican. So sort of similar to The Borgias, I guess, which is another show that I loved.
That should be interesting.
Now, let's move on to the crew involved as well. So are you a J.J. Abrams fan?
Not very much so.
I do like some of his shows and some of his movies, but I wouldn't say that I'm a fan of him. but yeah, still a last... massive name to get as like as part of the marketing. Although I guess he was a consulting producer, so not involved that much in the production of the show.
So they just slap his name on there to get people excited.
Yes.
I've been a fan of J.J. Abrams since he did Lost, so having his name attached to something normally guarantees I'll at least look at it. So I guess it works. Good job, HBO.
I know it's following the trend of huge TV dramas with big movie producers or movie stars attached to it. So sort of like Vinyl and shows like The Borgias and a few other shows that have been that have come along with like big Hollywood A-list names attached to it. So it really gives the certainly a huge launch for the show anyway. But one thing that I was reading is like the big names, the big producers that you should take note of is actually Jonathan Nolan, so brother of Christopher. But he also was one of the writers for The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, the Nolan brothers are probably two of my favorite Hollywood people. So I was, as soon as I saw he was writing it, like I said, everything seems to be going for this show, and it's hard to keep my expectations in check.
One thing that I learned today is there's also another person involved so the wife of Jonathan Nolan, so Lisa Joy Nolan, also is involved, and she produced Pushing Daisies, which was, I sort of liked that show. It was a show 9-10 years ago, I think.
Because I've never actually seen it, but I had a friend who was pretty into it.
But another big name, it would be Ramin, I won't get this right, but Ramin Djawadi, is that it?
Sure.
I'll need to look up how to pronounce it, but
that sounds right how it's spelled.
But he did produce the music, the theme music to Game of Thrones.
Definitely a good pick there then. I'm pretty sure 90% of the population would recognize the theme music to Game of Thrones by now.
And after all, it is all about the theme music, so if you can get a memorable, catchy, big theme song to your show, then that's definitely important. I guess we haven't heard what it would be yet, or I guess we've heard snippets of it in the trailer, but I'm looking forward to that, see if it's another thing that will be like iconic, like the Game of Thrones music is.
It looks like he's done quite a bit of stuff too, so he's definitely not just a one shot.
Now, in terms of the numbers and a few other details about what we know of the show, so it will be a 10 episode run for season one anyway, and the first episode will be titled The Original. I'm sort of expecting something like 2 million viewers for the first episode. That's my prediction in terms of the first episode and the launch of the show. What would you say, Ryan? Any ideas of like how big the first episode will be?
2 million sounds about right. Just wanted to look quick and see what Game of Thrones episode 1 season 1 aired at for views. 2.2. So yeah, probably a little bit less than the opener for season 1 of Game of Thrones would make sense.
All right, I thought that was 2.9.
I just went to the Wikipedia page, so it could be completely wrong.
What do you mean by Westworld virtual reality experience?
So I don't know if you remember. I think it was 2 seasons ago for Game of Thrones. At a lot of the cons, they were having the wall virtual experience for Game of Thrones, where you'd put on a virtual reality headset and they put you in a replica of the lift going up the wall. They blew cold air on you, and the platform that you were on would shake. And with the virtual reality headset on and your headphones on, it sounded like you were actually at the wall, and it looked like you were at the wall and going up to the top. and then you would get out of the lift, walk forward a few feet, and you'd be at the edge of the wall looking out at the expanse beyond the wall, and the wildlings were attacking, I believe. And like it ends with like arrows flying over your head, and then I think one hits you, and then it's the end of it. Well, apparently they've done something similar with Westworld. They have a VR experience. So if you remember the trailer, there's the part where they're standing in front of the gun cabinet. It sounds like that is part of it. Like you put on the VR headset, and there's the person standing in front of you, in front of, or right behind the gun cabinet, and they like tell you the there's no rules, no guidebook or whatever, and you're free to do whatever you want. And then yeah, you pick up a gun, I guess, in the VR experience using the it's for the HTC Vive, so you've got your VR headset, headphones, and then you've got two controllers in your hand, and it's all tracked, so you can actually walk around, and you pick up a gun, and then like you can go into Westworld, and it's a mixture of 3D video, which they actually took on the set using a special camera rig, and animation done with some engine or another, and you can either just shoot bottles off of planks of wood or whatever, like you're in the West, or you can just unload on the townspeople, just like you would be able to do if you actually went to a real Westworld.
Well, on that topic, something that I did want to look up, but I never really got a chance to, or just didn't think I would find anything anyway, but I guess if there was a Westworld, is it something that you would want to pay to go and see or do?
I guess if the price was right, it'd be very interesting.
Well, supposedly, I mean, I guess we haven't seen the show yet, but I'm guessing it would be really, really pricey to go to it. I mean, with the movie, the 1970s movie, it was $1,000 a night that they had to pay to go, well, live that experience of being back in the 1880s or back in Roman times, which I can sort of imagine that would be something for like really, really rich people to go and do or see. I'm surprised that there's not any sort of, well, not involving robots, but something like similar in the real world, just like with actors instead. I mean, there might be, but I didn't actually check.
Yeah, I know that, like, I've heard of, like, zombie experiences where they have, like, paid actors to do. I think they were actually doing it, I don't know if it actually ever became a real thing, but I know there was plans in downtown, well, somewhere in Detroit area, since there is a lot of abandoned housing in Detroit. Some company was going to buy up a couple blocks of abandoned buildings and turn it into, a zombie apocalypse thing where they had paid actors and you'd have paintball guns to shoot down the zombies and the actors would respond in kind by falling down and they'd chase you, and if you got tagged by them, basically you became a zombie as well. So I'm assuming that with the right amount of money, a decent business model, I could see a Westworld type thing with paid actors popping up in some capacity at least. I imagine if the show does well, chances are somebody with a lot of money will think it's a good idea to have actors to play out such a role. Although you probably end up with some legal problems, since in Westworld you're allowed to do anything.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you just had paintball guns and stuff, like people could still get seriously hurt because you're not wearing proper protection.
And Game of Thrones has been big for the cosplay audience out there. I wonder if Westworld will take some of that market and, you know, might be some characters that people will want to cosplay from this instead of Game of Thrones.
It's possible. I feel like it's not likely just because a lot of the characters don't have a standout outfit like they do in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just look like generic cowboys or tavern women, I guess. Women in fancy dresses. But I mean, it's possible if somebody could do something really cool with like peeling flesh for like the robots. They look, I think they, it looks like their skin can be separated from their hands and stuff, that somebody could make some pretty cool cosplay with that idea, possibly mixing that with the Western theme.
I am planning to do a review of season one as well once it ends, so hopefully you can join for that.
Yep, if the show's good and I watch it, I'll definitely join.
And do you have anything to talk about? So any movies you would recommend, or any VOKs you're going to do, or anything you want to plug, life events?
Nothing that comes to mind. Went and saw Blair Witch Project last weekend. I guess if you like the original, you might like it.
No, I hated it.
Yeah, then I wouldn't bother going to see it.
I did like Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows more, even though that's like the... That's the one that doesn't even, like, people don't even remember now.
But, I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Well, it was, like, different, so it was more scripted compared to The Blair Witch, which was more like a documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it very strange that they wanted to go back to the documentary style, but then hire fairly big-name actors to... It definitely didn't work for me, but I wasn't expecting much going in. So,
so is it a remake of the first movie?
No, it's a sequel.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't know going into it either because I didn't watch any of the trailers or anything. But the wife wanted to see it because she was a huge fan of the original. So we went. I got bored, which is sad for a horror movie.
Well, something I'm really excited about is, I won't get the name right, but Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, that did look good. I don't know if I've seen the entirety of the trailer even, but I've seen it on a few times, and yeah, it looked interesting.
Reserved my copy at the library as well for the first book, but I might have to wait months to get it.
Oh, when is the book out already, or?
Oh, it's a trilogy of books.
Are they all out?
Yeah, they're all out.
Oh, wow. I might have to go get that on audiobook, possibly.
I did see them in a shop called W.H. Smith, and, well, for some reason the prices were listed as dollars, so I guess they must have taken them, ordered them from America or something, but they were $10.99 each.
Weird.
Then, so I'm doing... this podcast, well, hopefully we can see. I wanted to do this one because I had doubts that I would actually do one for the first season review, because I've suggested podcasts like that in the past, like 11, 22, 63 and other shows, but never actually got around to doing it. So I'm hoping that I'll do a review for this one as well, so Westworld season one, once it's over.
You'll have to if it's popular.
But the... reviewing each episodes of the season was never going to happen.
No, we are not the Westworld podcast.
No. Oh, and for listeners out there, stay tuned, because we have exciting details for a competition coming up soon. So in the run up to Christmas, where you can win a prize which is related to some of the topics we've been podcasting about. You can keep following through iTunes or Facebook for more details on that. Just haven't ironed out the details yet.
That is exciting.
But is there anything else you want to say, Ryan?
Nope, thanks for hosting.
Well, thank you to everyone that listened, and you can look forward to the original, the season one premiere of Westworld on October 2nd through HBO, along with Australia, who can watch Westworld on Showcase. And those in the UK will have to wait until October the 4th through Sky Atlantic. But thank you once again, Ryan.
Yep, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.